Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. All right. Welcome to our second annual, I guess, roundup, year-end wrap-up, I guess is what we'll call it, of the DermVet Podcast. So last year, I had my husband on to give the kind of top tips, things that people have learned from the DermVet. So I asked that my derm nerd community, Ian, put a question sticker up on Instagram and asked, what are the top things that you guys have learned from the DermVet this year? And so we put together the top five, and as just kind of a fun family affair, I suppose, with the two of us. We did not invite the kids. A 2- and a 4-year-old would not be very helpful recording a podcast. We are going to wrap up the year of 2021 going over the five tips. So we get to welcome on the second person to have their second appearance on the DermVet Podcast, my husband, Jeff. So welcome the civil engineer to the DermVet Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here and glad to be the second repeat.
Just behind Chris, but you're kind of used to that with speaking, that Chris would make it before you would.
He can be tough to compete with.
He can. You don't do jazz hands and have quite the projectile voice that him and I have. So
now I know what I need to do.
Yeah, jazz hands. Okay, so let's get started with our year-end the DermVet wrap-up. What is the number one thing that was listed as kind of the tip they learned this year from the DermVet?
Number one. Cytology, even if it doesn't look that bad, and practice, practice, practice.
Well, practice, practice, practice. That's always a good tip for anything. But yeah, it's always hard to get away without cytology being a huge portion of what we do in dermatology. And I love that they actually said not just cytology everything, but cytology things that don't look that bad, because it's so true. When I give lectures, I always put up cases that didn't quote unquote look that bad and would easily be a case that you could kind of just brush over and not worry about. And then we'll do cytology and find crazy things like, you know, neoplastic cells and lymphoma and things that just don't look that bad. And I always kind of say you don't have to feel comfortable recognizing everything under the microscope. You want to feel comfortable identifying things like infection, and you want to feel comfortable saying that's kind of weird. Because if it's kind of weird, you biopsy it or you refer it. So you don't have to feel like you have to know everything under the microscope. You just have to feel comfortable saying, okay, there's cocci rods, yeast, or whoa, that's weird. Let's refer or let's biopsy. And you will go really far just being comfortable with those things. And practicing is really important. You cannot feel like you're going to be fantastic at cytology if you start implementing it with the crazy French bulldog who's bouncing off the walls or a dog who's trying to take a nibble off your finger. Practice in situations that are more comfortable for you to get those skills. It's a skill just like anything else. So if you're spaying a dog, just practice taking cytology when they're anesthetized. You know, it's not an invasive thing. You can just practice and, you know, just kind of see your technique and practice with people who feel more comfortable with cytology. Compare your two slides. That's the nice thing about cytology. It's something that slides are very inexpensive, and you can just practice that technique so that when you do have the crazy bouncing up and down 2-year-old lab, you feel more comfortable getting samples because you've practiced on a pet that's still anesthetized for a dental or spay or neuter. So use that to your advantage and practice. So yes, I love that. Cytology everything. So even when things don't look that bad, if they're licking or chewing their paws, get the toothpicks out, do that claw fold cytology. If you see a lesion or they report that they're bothering it, just get a cytology so we can make sure we're not missing something that's more significant. So always love the first tip being cytology. All right, number two.
Number two, don't give up on anchor therapy without ruling out flare factors.
This is super important. I see a lot of cases that people you know, they do great on Apoquil for 10 months. And then all of a sudden they flare and we think, oh, they're a failure to Apoquil now, or they're quote unquote resistant to Apoquil now. That's not usually the case. Usually there's a flare factor. So it's spring. Pollens are crazy. We forgot flea control. You know, we have an infection that hasn't been appropriately treated. It's so important with our anchor treatments, which would be things like immunotherapy, Apoquil, Cytopoint, cyclosporin, you know, steroids in bad cases. We don't want to give up on these treatments if there's something like a flare factor that we just need to get under control. Remember, every allergic dog flares. I mean, my cases flare. I always have owners know what to watch for. So don't give up on those treatments without checking for infection, getting really good history questions. You know, I've had owners where they think Apoquil is just something they do 1 month. They don't realize it's something they have to continue. So make sure you're knowing exactly what meds are on. Have they been consistent? Are they giving flea control? Is everyone in the house getting flea control? Did they get into any abnormal foods? Is this the time of year they flared last year and we just need to get through that flare, and then that anchor treatment will still be a great option for them the other 11 months of the year? So these things are really, really important. We have a lot of amazing tools in managing allergies, especially for dogs, but we still have limitations. And so we don't want to give up on really good treatments if we can just get rid of the flare factor. And then in the end, that anchor treatment is a fantastic option for them. So that one and two, I mean, that could be like 85% of what we do, cytology and managing those flare factors for allergic dogs. So that's important. What is number three?
Number three, you can combine Apoquil and Cytopoint.
Yeah, I actually think it's pretty interesting that that came up, because I have been told that a lot by general practitioners that I'm lecturing to, oh, you can't combine those two therapies. But actually you can. I mean, the amazing thing about Cytopoint is there's really not a limitation on what other therapies you can use it with. I would say it's not common necessarily to have to use those on a regular basis. Now, I have lots of patients who, you know, they'll be managed on Apoquil most of the year, and then maybe spring they need Cytopoint. It's not as common to have to utilize both continuously throughout the year, but it does happen, and you are able to do that. Going back to the second tip, you want to make sure you're taking the time to manage the flare factors first before you have to rely on something like two different anchor therapies, or if you're having to rely on two anchor therapies, like utilizing Cytopoint and Apoquil together, you might want to really consider referral for immunotherapy, because those are great candidates if we're starting to rely on more than one medication. Though, honestly, I think any willing owner is a great candidate for immunotherapy, because we have great success starting them younger as well. But you can use them together, and I think it's important to recognize that. Can get those flare factors under control, make sure infection's controlled, but just know that those are two therapies that can be used together, and some dogs do extremely well utilizing both of them together. Number four.
Number four. Cats are not small dogs.
A basic one, and not one that I created, but a very important one. Cats are not small dogs. We have to recognize that there are lots of differences, not only in the medications we have available for cats, not only in administration of things at home, but how we have to treat cats and their owners to get them to come into the veterinary hospital, to realize that sometimes we need to think about what we really need in that appointment versus what we want, because cats can be tricky. We've all had the cat who doesn't show up for their appointment because the owner can't catch them. Like, we have to make sure we're utilizing these fear-free techniques, feline-friendly techniques, to really be thinking about our cat patients, really talking to the owner about what is possible for them to do at home. Also recognizing the differences in how cats show us their allergies. So making sure we do oral exams in cats that have allergies, because they tend to have oral lesions a lot more often than dogs do. That we do have limitations on the medications that we have available. We do not use things like Cytopoint in cats. If you're going to use off-label Apoquil in cats, that there can be different doses and frequencies, because they are not small dogs. So they tend to break it down a bit faster. We have to know these things about medications if we're going to try to utilize them in cats. So it is important to become knowledgeable about feline dermatology. Also know some diseases that affect mostly cats, like plasma cell pododermatitis. How is the distribution of certain diseases different than dogs? So for pemphigus foliaceus, clawful disease in cats, more often than not, is going to be pemphigus foliaceus over allergies. Well, that is a huge difference compared to dogs. We see clawful disease all day, every day with dogs with allergies. It can happen in cats, but I actually get much more worried about autoimmune diseases if I see significant clawful disease in cats. So knowing the differences between cats and dogs, not only in how they show us their diseases, but the drugs we have available, how their bodies react differently to certain medications, is extremely important. So that is a great one. And then finally, rounding up the top five tips from that you guys have learned from the Derm Vet, what is number five?
Number five, you can be a great mom or dad. Look, shout out to my fellow dads. You can be a great mom or dad and be a vet at the same time.
Okay, but yeah, you're not going to be a dad and a vet at the same time. So what you're saying is you can be a dad and a really great, cool engineer at the same time.
Or the dad vets out there.
Yes, the dad vets get lots of props and recognition because that is not an easy role to fill. Certainly, I think, and I love that this came up because I was really trying to focus on dermatology tips, but I think it's really great that someone brought up just, you know, showing our lives as parents and veterinarians. The balance is not easy. It's not perfect. Everyone's balance looks different. Your balance can look completely different depending on what month, week, day you're in, hour you're in when you get those panicked phone calls that the kids are sick at daycare and you're trying to see cases. It's not easy, but it's totally worth it. It's totally possible. But I think what's important when we start talking about being a mom or dad or, you know, a spouse, you know, adoptive parent, an aunt, an uncle, like there's so many different ways to be caretakers for people and being in our vet field is that it's okay. It looks different for all of us. There's some of us that, you know, do thrive doing more work in the work-life balance. Like me, I've been very vocal about that. I really enjoy work. I am better at being a parent when I am able to work and kind of exercise that part of my brain. And there's some that are not, that it's really lovely for them to take a step back in certain situations from work, you know, with their family at home. So I think it's important that if we're going to talk about, yes, it's possible to be a great parent and a great veterinarian, it's also important for us to know that that picture is different for all of us and it can change. It can change, you know, next year might look different in how much you want to be a parent versus being a veterinarian. You may change what you want to do as far as your career path in this field, but it can always change. You always have the ability to make changes so that where you're at that particular time makes you fulfilled and happy. And that is what's most important. So rounding out our top five. So just kind of going over them again. One, cytology, even if it doesn't look that bad, and make sure you're practicing cytology. Number two, do not give up on an anchor therapy without ruling out flare factors first. Number three, yes, it is possible to combine Apoquel and Cytopoint in cases of dogs. Remember, we don't use Cytopoint in cats. Number four, cats are not small dogs. We know the differences in how their diseases look, how we need to treat them in the clinic, how we need to talk to owners, questions we need to ask for them at home, and what therapies can be used. And number five, it is possible to be a great parent and veterinarian at the same time. And with that, I just obviously have to say thank you to everyone who supported this podcast. This has been a fantastic year as far as different opportunities with the podcast, the sponsors that have, you know, really taken hold of the podcast and been supportive of it. I have to say thank you to all of them because they open more opportunities for me to be able to do more with this podcast. Everyone who's in the Derm Nerds, which I encourage you to check out because we're doing some really cool things next year and how we're changing the format, that people have been willing to just kind of take a leap of faith with me in that group, create a cool community of people who love dermatology, and just grow with me and allow me to do some more fun things as I get my feet under myself a little bit more, growing that. So for all of you, I hope you had a great 2021. And even if there's been moments that have been hard, I hope you can look to 2022 and just be excited about different aspects, whether it's family, career, changes, growth, and just thank you for all the support you've had. And I really hope to have some amazing things happening for the Derm Vet in 2022. So have a wonderful end of the year, and we will see you next year.